brothers and sisters who eagerly await the coming of our Savior and of our great King and Judge, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to believe, but here we are already in the thick of the holiday season. I realize we got a couple weeks till Christmas, but starting to feel the crunch already? There's already and always so many things to do. Everything to get ready, everything to prepare. We have a tradition in our household. We're not allowed to do any Christmas decorating. You can't listen to Christmas carols. You can't do anything Christmas related until after Thanksgiving. We're going to give proper glory and thanks to our God for His gifts. You have any idea what I did Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving? We put up the tree. Had to trim the bush out front because we hadn't done that yet, so we can put the hanging lights over it. All the decorations go up outside. The baking began. The Christmas carols came on. Didn't take very long. And now here we are in the middle of everything. Maybe you get it. The ordering and purchasing of presents. The preparing of Christmas lists. The wrapping of those gifts. If you don't have your tree up, you'll get it up. The presents have to go under it. And the lights have to be lit. All of the cleaning that needs to happen and the food preparation and the cookies and the candies that get to put together. There is so many things to do that it doesn't surprise many of us when we find out that this time leading up to the entire year for the vast majority of people. Because you never get a moment's rest and it always feels like there's something else that has to happen. All of the preparation work that needs to be done. I want us to push all of that aside for a moment and look at preparation work that is being done. Not preparation for Christmas this year, but preparation for really the first Christmas. And it's not being done by us, it's being done by God. Because God is the one who had been preparing the world for thousands of years for the Savior to come into it and to do His most important work. And then when He was finally here, before He began His ministry, He had even more preparation work that needed to be done as people would go out and say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In our gospel lesson from Matthew today, we see particularly the man whom God appointed to do just that. His name was John. We call him the Baptist because that's what he did. His primary message was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's entire purpose was to get the world ready for the coming Savior. I always love it too, because if you look at John's life, you realize John started preparing for Jesus to come and announcing His birth before John himself was even born. You remember the story? When Mary and Elizabeth, Jesus' mother and John's mother, came together and John leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb. Why? Because he was getting the world ready for Christ, starting with his mother. How wonderful it is. And John dedicated his entire life to doing just that, to preparing the way. But the message that he had to prepare the world isn't something that comes all kind of warm and cuddly. Because John's primary message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, you need to acknowledge that you are a sinner and you need to beg God for His forgiveness because Jesus is coming to judge as well. John's message is important for us today to remember. Because we might not be preparing for Him to be born or to come and to start His ministry, but we are preparing for Him to come again and to finish that great and glorious work that God has given Him to do. And so, let's listen to John's message, take it to heart, as we prepare ourselves as well for Christmas. John was a unique guy who had a very unique message. It had been foretold for years that John was going to be the one to come. In fact, it talks about the prophet Isaiah, but also the prophet Micah said someone was going to come, a prophet like Elijah, who would prepare the way for the Lord. He'd make straight paths so there was no obstacle, no stumbling block in Jesus' way. Jesus himself said a little later in Matthew's gospel that if you'll believe it, John is the Elijah who was to come. He even says John is the greatest prophet who has been born of woman. How amazing that is. What a testament to John. And in fact, John's message resonated with people so well and so fully because it was so different than what they were hearing from their religious leaders that people flocked to him. Keep in mind, John's not in Jerusalem where you'd expect to find a prophet. John's out in the wilderness. John's over by the Jordan River. And people are coming to him from all over Judea. They're coming out of Jerusalem, everywhere around the Jordan. And they're coming to hear this strange man with his very different message. A message of repentance. It's a message that we have to really fully comprehend and understand. Because if John's purpose is to get the world ready for the coming of Christ, the primary way that he can do that is by cleaning the world up. Think about it for a moment. That's really kind of what repentance is. If repentance is to acknowledge one's sins, but to go a step further and to realize fully that in the mercy of God we are forgiven, and then to amend our life to be in conformity to God's word and God's will, if that is what repentance is, what John's trying to do is clean up the world. That's why he's so harsh on the religious leaders who came out not really to be baptized or to listen to this message of repentance, but to figure out why it is that this guy in the wilderness is getting so much attention. Calls them that brood of vipers that's got deceit and poison on their lips. Who told you to run away from the coming wrath of God? He wanted them to repent too, but he had to be a little bit stronger in the way he presented that repentance to them. That was everything John was doing. Repent and be ready because the kingdom of heaven is coming. Because he's coming to judge. And dependent on where your heart is going to make all the difference. That makes sense, doesn't it? That if Jesus is coming into the world, wouldn't we want to be clean and ready? If you have someone coming over for a dinner, if you have someone coming over to your home for some reason, you spend time getting the house ready. You clean it up a little bit. If you're going to go out to dinner, let's say it's someone like the White House, you're going to put on your finest, right? Gentlemen, you wear a coat. Ladies, probably a dress. We're going to get ourselves ready and prepared. We're going to look our nicest. We're going to be clean and pristine because we have exalted company. Jesus is coming into the world. Who greater to have in the world as our guest than the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who had a hand in creation itself? It makes sense that John would say, repent, clean yourselves up, and get ready. Because when Jesus comes, we don't want him to find us dirty. There's our problem, isn't it? We're dirty. We're filthy in sin. Even our best laid attempts, even our grandest deeds, are like filthy rags because sin taints everything that we do. So John preaches a message of repentance. He says, look to your own sin and acknowledge it and turn it over to your Savior for cleansing. Turn it over to him that you may be washed clean so that when he comes, he finds the world ready for him to be able to sing his praises and worship his name because he is the Savior who has taken away sin. Repent. That's important for us to think of now too, because Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again in all glory to be the judge, I want him to find me clean. I won't get there on my own. But washed in the blood of Christ, he may just find what he's looking for. This is what John does. In fact, everything about him was that exact purpose to point to the fact that Jesus is the Savior. Did you catch on to how John is described? This man out in the wilderness, who many would claim to be a raving lunatic, he wears a leather belt and a camel hair tunic. No fine clothes, no comfortable clothes. See, grand feasts in the halls of Jerusalem? No, he feeds himself on locusts and wild honey. You don't find him living in luxury. You find him out in the desert. Seems a little odd for the greatest prophet born among men, doesn't it? But the purpose is because everything John does is meant to diminish himself so that he can point to the one who's coming after. So that he can say his famous words, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Don't focus on me, focus on him. If you take a look in the gospel, you'll realize that many of the disciples that John the Baptist had, he pretty much told, why are you following me? You should be following him. Because he doesn't want the attention. He doesn't want the glory. He wants it to be on Christ. He wants it to be where it should be. John here in Matthew even says that I'm not even worthy to carry the sandals of the man who comes after me. You understand that touching of sandals and feet, which were caked on with dirt and dust, because that's what they did. They walked the dusty roads. That was a servant's job, reserved for the lowliest. And John, this great, wonderful rabbi, teacher, prophet, he says, I am so much farther below him, I'm not even worthy to be the one who carries around his sandals. All the testament that Jesus gave to John, talk about a testament that John gives to Jesus. He's so much greater than any of us, we're not even worthy to be his humble servant. And yet, that's what he calls us to be. And that's what John does faithfully and diligently. He points to Christ. You find that as a struggle this time of year? That idea that John has to point to Christ? Doesn't it seem strange that one of the hardest times to find Christ out in our world is the very season that gets built, that builds up to the birth of Christ? Here we are at Christmas, and everything else that wraps around it, everything else that's there, and all of the glitter and the bows and the wrapping and the lights and the trees and the cookies and a jolly man in a red suit, all of it gets in the way and distracts away from the very reason why we celebrate Christmas, which is the birth of Christ. That's exactly how Satan wants it. It's how our sinful nature wants it, to pull the attention away from Jesus and to put it on something else. Because if we're distracted, we can't see his lies. And we fall away. Listen to the cry of John today as we push all of that to the side. As he says, look to Jesus, the Savior, the Christ. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Keep your attention where it needs to be, firmly planted on Jesus. Because only in him do we have forgiveness and life. And he is coming to see if that faith is truly present. John's message is important, especially for us now, with all of the hecticness and chaos that wraps around us. Don't get distracted by all of the extra. Don't let it be what gets in the way so that we can't really see Christ. In fact, follow John's message. I have one last question. So who now is going to do this all-important work? If John has been long gone for 2,000 years, who's going to get the world ready for Jesus to come the second time? I realize that his message is still here, but somebody has to proclaim it. Do you know who it's going to be? It's going to be you. Because those of us who by faith know who our Savior is, we also have that exact same task and that same privilege to be the servants of Christ, to point like John, look, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, the one who is coming again to judge the living and the dead. So repent. Receive the forgiveness that Christ himself has won for you. Every single time that we proclaim that message, we are being John for the world. We've had plenty of Johns in our own life. Pastors and teachers, parents and grandparents, family and friends. Every time that they point to Jesus and get rid of all of the junk that's in the way, we're doing the work of John. This Advent season, may all of us do the work of John. To point to the coming Savior. To point to the Christ, that baby in the manger. The one who comes in glory. Prepare for Christ. Repent and be ready. Because the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen.